The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week is Parashas Ki Siso. I'd like to make just a few notes this evening on Parashas Ki Siso, and also see that some of them might have to do with Purim, which we just celebrated. And firstly, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Posuk Yud Ches, Vayitein el Moshe, Kechalese ledaber itay bahar Sinai, Shnei luchoso edus, Luches even ksuvim be'etzba lakim. This is speaking when Moshe went up to the mountain, and he was on the mountain for 40 days. It's not in chronological order of the entire Sedra Rashi brings, Ein Mugdam Umucha Betera. The Torah does not necessarily follow always a chronological order. Vayitz Hashem gave to Moshe, as he finished speaking with him on Har Sinai, the two tablets, the tablets of the testimony, which were written with the finger of Hashem. Firstly, of interest, it states Kechaloisai, which means when Hashem finished. But a vav is missing in the word, and therefore you could read it as Kechalosai, like a color. So Rashi says, "Shenimser leteira b'matona kekala lechosav." Shlohei yochol ilmeid kula b'zman muat kezer. Moshe studied and learned the entire Torah in 40 days and 40 nights. He says this is impossible. So it was given as a gift from Hashem to Moshe, like a kala is given as a gift to a chosam, because a kala can take many, many years to mature into what she is at the time of the wedding. And the chosan has very little hand in that. And he just comes along, and she is given as a gift to him. So this is how Torah was given to Moshe. Then it states, Ledaber Itoi, as Hashem spoke with him. And this is a little difficult, because Itoi means Imoi. The Targum states Lemalala Imei. It should say as Hashem Kechalese Ledaber Elov, or Kechalese Ledaber El Moshe. But when Hashem finished teaching Moshe, when Hashem finished giving the Torah, speaking to Moshe, instead it states, as Hashem finished speaking with Moshe. What does that mean, with Moshe? So Rashi brings, Melamed shohei Moshe shomea mipi agvura, v'chozrin v'shonin es ha'alocha shneim yachad. This is to teach us that Moshe would hear the mitzvahs from Hashem, and then together they would chazer, together they would review it, revise it, and learn it over together. Chozrin v'sheinin es halocha shneim yachad. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu merely spoke to Moshe, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned Torah with Moshe. He would say the halocha, and then they would discuss it together, and they would debate it, and they would argue it, and they would review it until it was 100% clear, and then they went to the next halacha. So that's why it states Kechalesei ledaber itoi, as he finished speaking with him, and not Kechalesei ledaber elov, as he finished speaking to him. The Maral says in his Gurayeh, that here we can see some sodas gedolas, some very great points and depths into what Torah is. Torah is a decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as mitzvahs. This is what he decrees. If a melech gives a gzera, a decree, to his servants or to his nation, he doesn't particularly care if they understand the reasons. He knows the reasons. He wants the people to fulfill it. So he doesn't bother learning them with them. By Torah, it is true, these are the decrees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, they are all built on the ultimate of Chochmah, the greatest possible wisdom and the greatest possible truth. As it states, Ki hi chochmaskem ubinaskem beino amim. This is your wisdom, your great understanding amongst the nations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested merely that we fulfill Torah, but he wants us to understand also everything there is to understand, everything that we can understand in all of the mitzvahs and in all of the Torah. Not like a king who has decrees and his purpose is that his servants or his nation should fulfill the decrees. If they understand it, it's not his eisek, it's not his interest. But this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Because even though they are his decrees, they are the ultimate when it comes to truth and wisdom. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as he wants us to fulfill Torah, he wants us to understand the entire Torah. And therefore he didn't merely give it over to Moshe, but kechalese l'daber itoy, that he spoke with Moshe, he learned it with Moshe. From here we learn that each mitzvah, each halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would learn together with Moshe, and they would discuss it, and they would argue it, and debate it, and review it, until Moshe understood it thoroughly. Then they would go on to the next halacha. This is one point we hear from here. Second point he brings out is when a king gives a decree to servants, it's nothing more than a decree. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, this represented the bond of perfection between Hashem and his nation. Because as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned, the Torah, which is the revelation of his will, he wanted and he needed a nation to fulfill that. Klal Yisrael stepped forward. And Torah, on the other hand, is the fulfillment and the perfection of the people. So Torah is not merely a decree, but it represents a perfection and a bond between the giver and the recipient. And therefore also, this is why when he gave over the Torah, he just didn't give it to Moshe. But hoyu chozerin v'shonin halacha v'yachad. But each halacha, he learned together with Moshe. And he reviewed it. And they went over it again. And they discussed it. Until he understood it thoroughly. Then the bond was there. Then they went on to the next halacha. From what we learn from here is that this is what happens when we learn Torah. When we learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, this is creating the bond between us and this what he is revealing to us through his Torah. I'm going to go to another point. After that, it states, "Vayara om ki veishes Moshe laredes min ahor." The nation saw that Moshe was delayed in coming down from the mountain. "Vayikoylo om ala Aaron," and they gathered up against Aaron, and they said, "Kuma seilonu aleihim asheyechu lefaneinu," get up and make for us a god who will go before us. כי זה משה אישה שהיה לנו מארץ מצרים, לא ידענו מהו אלוהי. Because Moshe, this person who has taken us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And here we have the whole episode of the golden calf. And this was from the very greatest Averus of Klal Yisrael, especially at this time, right after the giving of the Torah. This was on the 40th day when Moshe was on the mountain. And it was a miscalculation. They thought that he should be back, and he was really coming back the next morning. And then they went to Aveda Zorah, which is idolatry, which is the worst Aveda in the Torah. This is the golden calf in our Pasha. We're not going to go into it in detail. We've done this in many shurim in the in the past. But to bring up one point, this Aveda, this transgression, was so grave that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy all of Klal Yisrael because of this. If we look in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud, there he tells Moshe, Ba'atah, he's speaking to Moshe still on the mountain, and he's saying, you better go down immediately, because he had given Moshe the Ten Commandments, the tablets, and he told Moshe, you better go down immediately, because look what your nation is doing. And now leave me alone, he told Moshe, because Moshe was trying to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take it easy. And I will let my anger be fulfilled against them, so I can destroy them. And I will make a nation from you, but from them I will destroy. This further caused Moshe to break the tablets, and he held that this nation, not to break the tablets, that was something very, very serious. That meant not only to break the tablets, that meant to break the entire Torah, not to give them Torah. And he said, this nation is not roy, is not, should not merit the Torah. This is in Pasuk Yutes. Vayhi kasher korav el hamachne bayares ha'egel macholis. When Moshe came close to the camp and he saw the calf and all of the dancing around the calf. Vayichar af Moshe, and Moshe became angry. Vayashlech miyodov esaluches, and he threw down the tablets. Vayishaber esam tachas or, and he broke them beneath the mountain. And Moshe went, and he was mispalu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive them. And even after he succeeded in getting Hashem to withdraw, to rescind the decree that he would destroy Klal Yisrael, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, but I will not dwell amongst them. This is in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hashem said, well, it's in Pasuk Lamed Dalet. The previous Psukim state Vayoshev Moshe al Hashem, that Moshe returned to Hashem and begged for forgiveness for the nation. And in Lamed Dalet, so Hashem said, all right, V'ator lech nechei eso'om el asher dibalti loch. Okay, I will not destroy them. You go and lead the nation to where I will tell you. Hinei maloch yelech lefonecho. And I will send my angel before you, but I will not go in front of the nation. V'yein pokti ufakariti aleim chatosom, and when I bring punishment on them, I will bring to them for other things. I will always punish them for this also. And in Pasuk Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Beis, which is right near there. There, and in Pasuk Gimel, and hey, there Hashem says, V'sholachti lefanecha maloch. I will send before you an angel. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, and this angel will help you destroy all of the people. El Erez Ovas Kolavud Vosh. Ki lo ele bikirbecho, because I will not go amongst you. Ki am she'er vato, because they are a very stiff-necked nation, penachilcho badorech, and they make me angry, and if I do, I might destroy them. So, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew himself from the nation and said he will not be shechen hishchina, he will not dwell amongst them. Because of this, this caused Moshe himself to withdraw from the nation. In Posuk Zayin, it states, Moshe yikach es ohel v'not ale mechutz l'machaneh, harchek min ha'machaneh v'kor ala el ma'ed. Moshe took his own tent and moved it outside of the camp. Why did he do that? So Rashi brings, because amanuda l'rav, manuda l'talmud, that since the nation was excommunicated from the Rav, from Hashem, so therefore they have to be excommunicated from the Talmud, also from the disciple. So Moshe moved his tent out of the camp. And anyone who wanted to come to hear the words of Hashem, they had to go outside of the camp. Later on, near the end of the Sedra, it's brought that Moshe moved his tent back into the camp because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if I'm angry at them and I'm far away from them and you're going to be far away from them, Mimakarvam, who will bring them back? So therefore he told Moshe to go back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved out, and Moshe did also at this time. So this was the situation. It was only where we see a little further in the Sidra, Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. This was after Moshe went up for a second 40 days, and he was mispalo to Hashem for Slicha, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive them. Then Hashem finally said, all right, Psolacho Shnei Luches Avonim Kirishenim Vechosafti Ala Luches Es Advorim Asher Hoyu Ala Luches Orishenim Asher Shibalto. You out new tablets, write on the tablets, I will write on the tablets which were written on the first tablets which you broke. In other words, all right, I agree, I will forgive them and I will give them back the Torah. And Behei Nochon Laboke Valisa Vaboke La Sinai Venitstaf to Lishon Al Reshohor. Be ready to come up in the morning. Come up in the morning with the new tablets. Wait for me on the top of the mountain. And Moshe did this. In Posuk Tes, there Moshe asks Hashem, Im no motzosi chen be'einecho, Vayomer, Im no motzosi chen be'einecho Adonai, Yelech no Adonai bikirbeinu, Ki am she'erefu, V'solach laveninu l'chatzaseinu l'chaltonu. There he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come back into the nation and dwell amongst us. And in Pasuk Yud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. He said, Vayomer hine anechi kereis bris neged kol amcho esen nifleis asher lo nivro b'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'goyim. He said, all right, I will make a covenant, a new covenant with you, which will be a dover and nifle, something which is different, that you will be different than all of the other nations. B'chol ha'goyim, and what is that? And Rashi explains that I will dwell amongst you and I will never dwell amongst any other nations. My Shechina will rest only by you. So here finally And this is referring to the end of the third 40th day that Moshe stood on the mountain. Finally, he got HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive the nation, to give them the second Luchos tablets, to again come into the nation and to dwell amongst them, and only Israel to that degree. And this was at the end of the third 40th day. This was Yom Kippur. And therefore, the Luchos are called the Luchos Edus, the tablets of testimony. And the Mishkan, Mishkan Edus, the sanctuary of testimony, because this is all a testimony that we were forgiven for the golden calf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has returned to Klal Yisrael. So this is just an overview of what took place. And this took place on the end of the third 40th day, which was Yom Kippur, and that's why Yom Kippur, Rashi brings, was set aside forever as a day of Slicha and Kapora, a day of forgiveness, and also Yom Shenitna by Luchos HaShniyos, the day which the second tablets were given. Actually, there is, with this whole episode that we have in this week's Parsha, there is a connection to Purim, which we just celebrated. What is the connection? There's a medrash. Maral brings this in his Akdoma to Or Chodosh. He brings it on Daf Mem Zayin. And the medrash is in Medrash Shochatov in Mishlei. And the posuk of Chochmas Bonso Beso, Chochmas Noshim Bonso Beso, which is speaking about Esther, how she saved the day, that the Medrash says that Esther was Kone Hashem Le'olam. She will be remembered forever for what she did. Why forever? Shekol ha-moadim asidim le-botel v'imei ha-purim le-betelim le-elam shenemar v'lo yavor. And the Megillus Esther states that these days are lo yavor. These days will never go by, will never be forgotten, the days which were set aside for Purim. Since the days which were set aside for Purim will never be forgotten, then the name of Esther will be remembered forever. So Esther was Konsor Shem Le'olam. She acquired this wonderful name forever. Reb Lezer comes along and Eimer Af Yom HaKippurim Le'ibotel Le'olam. Even though all of the Yom Tovim at one time might be forgotten, but Purim and Yom HaKippurim will not be forgotten. Shenemar v'hoyis ezos lachem lechukas olam, because by the avodas Yom HaKippurim, where the Torah tells us the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur, that's a believe in Achrimesh, which we read on Yom Kippur, there it states that this avoda should be lechukas olam, the mitzvahs, the statutes forever. So the Torah is testifying that it will be forever. Now there is the obvious question. Firstly, why should we say that Kol HaMeyadim Asidim Libotl, that the Yom Tovim will eventually cease? And why should we say Chutz MiPurim, with the exception of Purim? And according to Reb Lezer, why should we say, and also with the exception of Yom HaKippurim? What does Purim have to do with Yom Kippur? So the Maral explains. The reason why the Medrash mentions that there'll be a time when the Mo'adim will cease to be doesn't mean they will cease entirely. But it means the Gemara in Brachos brings that
At this point, the Yom Tovim, they're our greatest days. When it comes to Pesach, when it comes to Shavuos, when it comes to Sukkot. Why we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. The Gemara brings, there'll be a time after in the Gula Achreina, the ultimate redemption, which will come through the Melech HaMashiach, that will be far greater and with far more miracles than even the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. And that will take us out of the Shibud Malchus, all of the tzoros that we've had from the various empires through the long Golos, and in particular through the Shibud of Esav that we've had for the last 2,000 years. And when that takes place, so we will sing the praises of that Geula far more than the praises of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It will be like a great light against a small light. The light of the Yetzias Mitzrayim will diminish in comparison to the light of the Geula Achreina. Shetehe Shibud HaMalchias Ikor, the Yetzia of the Shibud HaMalchias Ikor v'Yetzias Mitzrayim Tofel. This is what the Gemara says. But Purim will never lose its light. And according to Reb Lezer, Yom Kippur will never lose its light. Why is that? Because by the Yetzias Mitzrayim, even if it would have happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken us out of Egypt, what would have been? We would have remained in Egypt. But ultimately, by the Geula Achreina, when the Mashiach would come, then he would have taken us out of Egypt. So therefore, the Geula Achreina is far greater than the Geula Rishena. The last redemption is far greater than the early redemption. Then, not now, but then. And all of the Mayadim, all of the Yom Tovim, celebrate the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Purim, though, is not Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fact is, the Gemara says Purim was altogether different than the going out of Egypt. Purim was not Me'abdus Lecherus, but was Mimonis Lechayim, like we spoke about a number of times. But in Purim, it wasn't a question of us being enslaved. Haman wanted to annihilate the entire nation, every Jew in the world, because Ahasuerus ruled over the entire world, therefore every Jew was a subject. Haman had the ear and the signature of the king, and he had the decree, Lahashmid Laharig Laabedis Kola Yehudim, to destroy every single Jew in the world, man, woman, and child. So there it was Mimovis Lechaim. There the danger was not enslavement, but it was annihilation. And the miracle which took place on Purim, which Purim represents, was being saved from annihilation. Had Purim not taken place, there could never be a Geula Achreina. There would have never been a last redemption, because had Purim not taken place and Haman's decree successful, then there would never have been a last redemption with the Melech HaMashiach. There would be no Jews left. So therefore, even though all of the Mayadim will lose their luster in the end of days against the luster of the great Yantiv that the Melech HaMashiach will bring, Purim will never lose its luster. That will always have to celebrate. Because if not for Purim, there would have never been a Geula Achreina al Yidei the Mashiach. And therefore, Esther was Konsor Shem Olam. She acquired for herself a name which will be forever. This is the explanation that of the Rabbanon, that אף הפי של כל המיידים עשידים לבוטל, פורם ליבוטל, שנמה וליעבור. Now Reb Lezer comes along and he says, אף יום הכיפורים. What does Yom Kippur have to do with it? Yom Kippur, the same thing. There were two times in history that we were threatened with total annihilation. Only two times. You see, all of the other dangers to Klal Yisrael was not of total annihilation. It was annihilation to the segment of the population, but not total. There was only two times in history. One was Purim. One was the danger which Purim took us out of, and the other was the danger which Yom Kippur took us out of. Here at the Golden Calf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Anichali, leave me alone, Va'achalein kerega, and I will destroy all of them. Ve'eschol gei godlo mimeko, and I will make a new nation from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. He took the Torah away from them. He said, I will not go amongst them anymore. I will not dwell amongst them. Nachala, I will destroy them. So here again we had the danger of total annihilation. Through a miracle we were saved. What day represents that miracle? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was the day which brought the slicho u'mechila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, v'solachto kidvarecha, and Moshe convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come give the Torah back and come back into Klal Yisrael. So, even in the days of the Melech HaMashiach and the great Geula Achrona, the great final redemption, which we can say will overshadow Yetzias Mitzrayim, it cannot overshadow Yom Kippur. Because if not for Yom Kippur, there would have never been a Gula Achreina. We could say that if not for the Yetzias Mitzrayim, all right, we would have ended up in Egypt for another few thousand years, but eventually the Melech HaMashiach would have taken us out. But if not for Yom Kippur, there would be no Jews left for the Melech HaMashiach to come. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Melech HaMashiach. So therefore, Yom Kippur also will never lose its luster. That's why actually the Gemara brings Lohoyu Yomim Tevim Lishvel Kiyem HaKippurim. Yom Kippur was the greatest Simcha by Klal Yisrael. Slicha v'Kaporim. Yom Shenit Meluch HaShashniyas, the second tablets were given. Torah was given back to us. Therefore, Yom Kippur also will never lose its luster, even in the great light of the Melech HaMashiach. So Reb Lezer says, Af Yom HaKippurim. And where does he learn it from? Because it states, Zeis lochem, v'hois azos lochem lechukas olam. These mitzvahs of Yom Kippur will be forever. Now, so we have twice that we were threatened annihilation, twice we were saved, the entire nation, and the celebrations are twice, Purim and Yom Kippur. But both of them are entirely different from each other. As we know, Purim, we make a big feast, we drink, we eat. Yom Kippur, not only we don't make a big feast, we don't even make a small feast. We don't eat at all, and we don't drink at all. They're just opposite, but there's a reason. Because the threat of annihilations were not the same. Haman's threat of annihilation was to the physical nation. He wanted to kill them physically. He wanted to take this world away from them. Because of that, we were saved. So therefore, it's a celebration of physical Klal Yisrael. And therefore we celebrate it physically. We celebrate it with eating and with drinking and with gifts and so forth and so on. Yom Kippur was not a physical annihilation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy them spiritually, of course, because they went against him to serve Avodah Zarah. And the adversary was not Haman, a physical enemy. The adversary was the Satan, who brought Klal Yisrael to this point. It was the golden calf. And who brought them to the golden calf? This was the Satan. The Satan and the Malach HaMavis and the Yetzer Hara. And they came to destroy Klal Yisrael spiritually. The fact is, on Yom Kippur, what we do in the Avodah Yom Kippur during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would send a special goat to the Satan. And it was called Shechad LeSatan. They would pay off the Satan to get him out of the picture. So, therefore, when Yom Kippur came, it was a spiritual victory for Klal Yisrael. It was a spiritual Hatzolah for Klal Yisrael. Purim was a physical Hatzolah for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Yom Kippur is celebrated only in a spiritual manner, and not in a physical manner at all. To the contrary, we abstain from anything physical. We don't eat and we don't drink and we don't bathe. We don't wear shoes and so forth. Because there it was the Hatzolah, it was the saving and the simcha of the soul. So they're the same, but they're totally opposite. But this is why Reb Lezer says Purim and Yom HaKippurim will never phase out. It said over in the name of the Gaon that the Gaon would say, and this is just what we're saying now, he says actually Yom HaKippurim you could read as a day Kippurim, like Purim. Kippurim, kapora, that means to atone, to forgive, atonement. But Kippurim also means like Purim. And he would ask a question. He says, the Gemara says that on all of the Yom Tovim, this is according to at least one opinion in the Gemara, all of the Yom Tovim, you must divide. Chatzi lochem v'chatzi lashem. You must divide the day where you indulge in personal simchas for half of the day, and you indulge in simchas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for half of the day. Therefore, the Gemara says, Chalkeu, you must divide it. Half the day you must eat and drink, and half the day you must go to shul and daven and must learn. Must be a simcha. What is the purpose? The purpose is because it must be a simcha both for the goof, for the body, and for the nefesh, and for the soul. See, as a kasha, Purim, we don't do that. Purim is all for your body. And Yom Kippur, on the other hand, we don't divide it. Yom Kippur is all for the soul. She says, because both of these days belong together, like we mentioned. And therefore it's considered Kippurim. Yom Kippur is like Purim. And Purim is the day where we celebrate the physical Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, the physical victory of Klal Yisrael, and Yom Kippur is the day when we celebrate the spiritual victory of Klal Yisrael. And therefore these two days are twinned together. So that's what this has to do with Purim. Let's go to one more point. In the Megillas Esther, it states, "Layhudim ha'isa ora v'simcha sosen v'kor," that once there was the victory, so to the Jews, there was great light Ayudim Aisa Ora, Vesimcha, and great Simcha, Sosun, great happiness, Vikor. And Vikor is great honor. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Darshans, they expound each one of these four words. What does it mean, Layhudim Haysa Ora? They had great light. This refers to Torah. Simcha, this refers to a Yamtiv. On Purim, they had Torah. On Purim, there was a new Yamtiv. Sosin refers to Mila, Bris Mila. Bikor, and Bikor refers to Tfilin Shebarosh, the mitzvah of Tfilin. Now, the Maral asks, he says, what does it mean that on Purim they had Torah? They had it before Purim also. What does it mean that they had the mitzvah of Yantif, unless we want to say there was a new Yantif? What does it mean, Bris Mila? Bris Mila they had before also. What does it mean, Tfilin? They had this before. So what does that mean? She says as follows. As we spoke about last week, a number of times, Haman was from Amalek. And Amalek was the force in the world which made a great mechitza, a great barrier between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. As it's written in the Parsha of Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the end of Parsha B'Shalach, Yod Al Keis Ko, that I raise my hand, that my throne and my name is not complete as long as Amalek is in the world. Amalek was the nation which distanced the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and distanced Klal Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it states when Amalek will be destroyed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be one in the entire world. So now during Purim, the world came to new levels because Amalek was destroyed. Haman was the arch leader of Amalek. He was hanged. The world now moved to higher levels. This is why the Maral says that we find, it states, that after the miracle of Purim, many Jews came and they converted to Judaism. He says, we never find this by the other miracles, by the other Yom HaTovim. Because once Haman was removed, it was as if the force of Amalek was removed. And now the world came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and vice versa. Therefore, Rabbi Me'amoretz Mishadim, many of the peoples of the nations of the world, many of the people came to convert. Because of this, Klal Yisrael came to new heights in mitzvahs. Now, we mentioned here four mitzvahs. The first one was Torah, the second one was Yantif, the third one was Bris Mila. Torah, this is the mitzvah of the intellect, of the intelligence of the person. Now he came to new heights in Torah. Simcha, Yantif, this is the mitzvah of the nefesh of the person, of the heart of the person. Because v'samacht b'chagecho, Yantif has the particular, the unique quality of Simcha. Simcha, rejoicing is in the heart. Now that Haman and Amalek were removed from the world, the Jew came to new heights of Yantiv. So when we're saying Laihudim Haisa Ora Vesimcha, yes, they always had Torah, they always had Yantiv. But now they had Madregas Kadoshes, new levels of it in Torah and new levels in Simcha Yantiv. Sosein, the Gemara says that refers to Bris Mila. Brings the Pasuk Sosa Nechi Alim Rasecha Kemetze Sholorov, that refers to the Bris Mila. They had new levels in the mitzvah of Bris Mila. New Madregas. Bris Mila represents the mitzvah of the goof, the physical mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah which is physically cut into the person's body. They reach new levels of this. Vikor, this refers to tefillin. What kind of mitzvah is tefillin? So the Gemara says on this. The Gemara says, why do we say this refers to tefillin? Because it states, V'rohu kol amei ha'oretz ki shem Hashem nikro alecho v'yoru mimeko. All of the people of the world will see that the name of Hashem is on you, and they will fear you. The tefillin, and the Gemara says, "Zut tefillin shebarosh." This is the tefillin of the head. The tefillin which one wears on his head, he is binding himself to the name of Hashem, because the name of Hashem is in the tefillin, and he binds that to his head. So this is a level where he binds himself entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, to his name. And this represents the honor, because the honor and the fear. The Torah says that when the nations of the world will see Klal Yisrael wearing the tefillin Shebarosh, that they have the name of Hashem on them, and there's such a close unity, V'yoru mimeko, they will fear you. So therefore, this is Vikor. Vikor, the Baal says, is the same as Loshen as Kovet, the honor, Pe'er, a beauty and an honor. And when they see this beauty and they see this honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given his own name, see, it states that a person's name is his honor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is his honor. In the Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Le'sisa Hashem Elokech Lashov, don't use my name falsely. He says, it desecrates my honor. So when he lends his own honor, that a person can wear that on his forehead, he is connecting, the person is connecting himself to the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rohu kol amei ha'oretz, the people of the world see that. V'yoru mimeko, kishem Hashem nikro alecho, v'yoru mimeko, they will become afraid of it. This is the fourth level. This is tefillin shebarosh. This is the Shem Hashem. So these levels, it was these new levels that Klal Yisrael came to in Purim. Now he asks an interesting, he brings out an interesting point. He says, actually, Torah is the highest. So that should be the last level mentioned, not the first. It says, Laihudim Haisa Ora. Ora is Torah. Simcha is Yantiv. Sosin is Mila. Torah is the highest level. The highest level comes last, not first. You don't go from the high to the low, you go from the low to the high. So he says, Emes, Torah is the highest level, and it all comes from Torah. But he says you should realize that we're going here from a level to level, which is from high to high. Why? He says, Torah is the highest level. But Torah is a spiritual level. If a person can bring the spiritual level to sanctify his heart, then that's even greater. If he can bring the spiritual level to sanctify even his physical body, that's even a higher level, that's even greater. So it started with Torah, Layhudim Haisa Ora Zu Torah, but from there they went even to higher levels, that they brought the light of Torah to sanctify their hearts. This was Yantiv, the level of Yantiv. And from there they brought the light of Torah to sanctify their bodies, Zumila. And then they came where a human being could even bind himself to the Shem Hashem. You see, Torah is a spiritual level by the angels or in the heavens. It's at one level. But if it can be brought into this world, then you create even higher levels with it. So this was all of the levels that they came to. And these were Madregas Kadoshes, new levels. Because now with the defeat of Haman, Amalek was removed from the world, and the whole world came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do find also in our Siddur somewhat of a connection in a certain point here, and that is that when Moshe was on the mountain, and this is in Posuk Lamed, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Posuk Yud Ches, Vayomar, Moshe said, Hareini no eskvedecho. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would like to see your honor. Actually, there's a medrash, might be brought here also, but it's brought in Shmos by the burning bush, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first appeared to Moshe in the bush, it states that Moshe was afraid to look. He covered his face. So there are different opinions there as to it, was this right or wrong? Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal himself to Moshe, and Moshe turned away. Was this right or wrong? Different opinions. But they bring it here in connection here because Hashem told Moshe, now then I revealed myself to you and you didn't want to look at me. Now you're asking to look at me. So there's a whole discussion there. At any rate, Moshe said, I want to see you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leisuch sucha lirei ses ponai. You cannot see my face. Ki lo yirani odem v'choi. Because no man can see my face and live. But, he said, what I will show you, I'll show you the back of my back, but not my face. And Rashi brings, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show him? What did Moshe see? He says, Here lay keshi shel tefillin shel Rosh. He saw the knot of the tefillin of the Rosh. This is what he saw in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if he was wearing the tefillin shel Rosh. The Maral brings here in the Gurai. He couldn't see. He was not shown HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But he was shown the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because like we mentioned, tefillin is bikor. This is the honor. And perhaps the point of connection where Klal Yisrael connects themselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they can connect themselves, they can rise even to join themselves to the actual honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where that dwells on the human being. And that's what we see here. Tefillin, there it says, Vikor Zu Tefillin. That's Tefillin Shebarosh. This is why the Gemara brings on the Pasuk that in ultimately when the world's in its perfection, so the nations will see in Klal Yisrael the level where they're actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu's entire honor is placed on them, Piyoru mimeko. And then they will be afraid to do anything to them. They will have fear from them. So this we see also in our Siddur. These are a few notes in relation to Parshas Kisiso and Purim, which we just had.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.